Father, thank you for the time you've given us to look into your word. We ask that you would direct our attention to the truth you have in store for us. Help us to live our lives in a way that reflects what we believe about your word. And we ask that you give us understanding tonight. Open the eyes of our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. We are beginning the final chapter of Ephesians, and this section we're in actually began in chapter 5, dealing with submitting to one another in the fear of God, or as reverence to Christ. This is the general command that all believers are to have an attitude of placing themselves under others. Put yourself last and put others first. This is the result of being filled with the Spirit, or the result of being filled with the Word of God, letting the Word of God of Christ dwell in you richly. So the general command is to submit to one another for all believers, and then there are specific groups that Paul addresses and how they are to submit within that group. So wives are to submit to their own husbands as an act of obedience to the Lord, and husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. His love was sacrificial. He gave himself for her. He had an immediate purpose for that, which was to sanctify and cleanse her. So this was God's plan from before the creation of the world. We saw in chapter 1 that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And the ultimate purpose for Christ's death was so that he would present his church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. So we are in the future to be his glorious bride. And this is in the section dealing with husbands loving their wives. And this is the pattern we are to have in our relationship. But husbands cannot give eternal salvation to their wives, even if they were to die for them. So a husband's love can never measure up with Christ's love for his church. But that is the goal that is set before us. Another aspect in that section is that as a person feeds and cares for his own body, a husband ought to love his wife as his own body, because the two are one flesh. And then, moving on into chapter 6, a brief summary. Children are to obey their parents, and fathers are to discipline their children without provoking them to anger. And then, finally, the last specific group dealing with submission is bondservants, or slaves are to obey their masters, and masters are not to threaten their servants. And then after this, Paul deals with our spiritual warfare. We are to be strong in the Lord. This is for every believer. We are to put on the full armor of God to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Other people are not our enemies, but the spiritual forces behind them. In 1 John, John writes that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. So that is the force that is our enemy. So we will look at the full armor of God, which includes truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, and I think prayer is probably included in that too, but that is not given a picture of armor. And then after that, there are a few closing verses to the letter. And that's what we will look at in the following weeks. But we're on the last chapter now. So let's begin chapter 6. I had it open. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So tonight's focus is the first three verses directed toward children, specifically Christian children. So here's just a quick overview. This is who it's for, children. The first command here is to obey your parents. They are to do this in the Lord because it is the right thing to do. And there is the second command here, which is to honor your father and mother. And the result of that is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So that's what we're looking at tonight. So, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So this is directed toward children, specifically Christian children who are filled with the Spirit and submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. So there are a couple points here about children. One is that the scripture is directed specifically to children. So there is the idea that wherever the letter is read, there would be children present. They were a part of the church service. The Bible is not exclusively for adults. It is for people of all ages. So children should be reading or hearing and learning the Word of God. And the promise of the Holy Spirit was also given to children. We see in Acts chapter 2. After the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they went out. They were speaking differently than normal, and the Jews in Jerusalem were amazed and perplexed at what they saw. Some of them were mocking the disciples, saying that they were full of wine. And then Peter stands up. He gives a sermon to them, and he begins with telling them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, that it was prophesied in the Old Testament. And at the end of the sermon, he said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So children are included in the promises of God. He has a plan and purpose of believers of every age. There's another point to this word children, that it does not always refer to a young person, young in age. It's not the word for an infant, but it is offspring or the product of a husband and wife. We see in John chapter 8, Jesus told the Jews who believed in him that he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And they said they were Abraham's descendants. They had never been in bondage. So how can you say we will be made free? So they said Abraham was their father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, which is the same word here, you would do the works of Abraham. And he was not speaking to small, young children there. And they are also several generations later than Abraham. So that word carries a more of a significance than just a young person. In another passage, Jesus calls his disciples children, using the same word. And I think it's probably similar in English. I personally don't consider myself to be a child, but at the same time, I am still my parents' child. So that's kind of the other idea behind the word children here. I think that probably this is directed mainly toward children who are living in the home with their parents, but I won't make a strong case for that. But.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. Just the The reason why I think it's probably directed toward children living at home is because that's kind of the focus where he started with husbands and wives, and now he's moving on to children and parents, and that's still kind of a home setting, but he could be talking to all children of all ages. Okay, so the command is to obey. To obey is to listen and submit, to hear the command and perform it. So children are to come under what their parents are saying. And just like how the wife is to submit to her husband, this obedience is not to be an absolute obedience. If parents were to command their child to do something that went against what God commands, then it would not be right. It is always better to suffer an earthly consequence for disobeying a human authority than to suffer eternal consequences for disobeying God. But generally, children should be obeying their parents. It says, your parents, children are to obey their own parents, not their friends' parents, not every adult that they come across. This obedience is not dependent on whether they think their parent is a good parent or not, or whether even if their parents are Christian or not. Both parents, that is father and mother, both are to be obeyed because they are both given authority over their own children. There is, I'll go to that now, I think. Where do I have this? Okay, one thing that's not specifically mentioned here is what if you are an adopted child or if you are under the care of some other kind of guardian. I think the rule would still apply that you are to obey those who are placed in that role over you. They are the authority that God has placed over you for a time. Obey your parents in the Lord. So children's obedience to their parents should arise out of obedience to the Lord. It is the Lord's will for children to obey their parents, so they should do it because that is what the Lord wants them to do. Do it to please the Lord. Colossians 3:20, I have listed there, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So as children obey their parents, that is obeying the Lord too. For this is right. It is the righteous thing to do. Children are not to obey their parents, not because of the kindness of the parents or because it is beneficial to the child, but because it is right. And it is God who determines what is right and what is wrong. So since he says it is right for children to obey their parents, that makes it right. Since God cannot lie. I have a couple references here dealing with disobedience to parents. In the Old Testament, in the law that God gave to Moses for the Israelites, disobeying parents was a serious crime. In Deuteronomy 21, beginning with verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Oh my! Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. So that was a serious offense to be disobedient and rebellious against your parents. We'll get to the reason why in a minute. In the Newt, yes, Curtis.
I watched that verse, I don't know exactly where it's at, maybe y'all know it. Honor thy father and thy mother, thy days on earth can be longer. Can you imagine what you have been, what the days in the future?
Okay.
Yeah, well, we just read that. That's verse 3 here, which we'll get to that. Yeah, that's a good point. If you are disobedient, it may shorten your life.
Yeah,
in that culture, yes. It would be a very short life. So in Romans chapter 1, disobedience to parents is listed among a large list of other sins. And in verse 32, it says that those who commit these sins, they know the righteous judgment of God, that they are deserving of death. So that carries on over to the New Testament, that they know that it is wrong. They know that the righteous judgment of God condemns them to death just for being disobedient to parents. And in 2 Timothy 3, Paul tells Timothy that men will be lovers of themselves, of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. The list goes on. And he tells Timothy, from such people turn away. That is, do not have anything to do with people who are characterized by this. So this is a serious offense to God, and in these passages he's not necessarily speaking about young children, but just people in general who are disobedient to parents. So this could give a case that the children here in this verse would apply to any children of their own parents. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. John.
As a parent, you need to be home. My wife, nobody ever called me anymore. Maybe my grandmother. But she was a Christian woman. I admire that. So I know. But my friends' parents, they hated the church, but they hated them. And I'm just thinking that it's so important as a parent to show Christianity.
Absolutely.
Every time a closet getting loaded yet. They want to go to church. They're going to make me go to church. Look at that. They're on Sunday church. Yeah.
Okay.
What he just said, you just read that in a second.
Yeah, that there would be men that come that are disobedient to parents. That's
why should they be if they have they don't see how many they've got?
Why should their parents come to
absolutely let out of that?
Yes, definitely.
Look at what you wrong said. Look what you wrong said.
Yeah,
admit that if that was a parent that's done everything you're supposed to do with your child is not obey. That's because it is evil. That's why they said bring them out there and fart or give them some phone.
But back then it was better. The society
well, next week we will get more into the parents' responsibility, but that is a good point. Yeah, but tonight is the focus is the child's responsibility. So, like you said, even with parents that are doing all they can, there in Deuteronomy, sometimes the child still won't obey.
You can't go out. You don't like it. You want to go out.
Well, that's what happens when you spare the rod and spoil the child.
You know, they don't see it. They don't see no love.
The Bible talks about not sparing the rod and spoiling the child. It means that kid needs to spank it when he needs to.
When we screw up at school, the nun would say with a big stick for your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I the fool?
Yeah, put your hand down. Okay. I'm laughing. You break the rule. I'm a fool. Hurts.
Is toward Christian children, whether their parents are believers or not. Even if you have one that's not a good example, you should be obeying them if you want to obey the Lord. And this relationship that children have with their parents is a mirror for a Christian's obedience to the Lord, to the Heavenly Father. In Malachi chapter 1, we see a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I then am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? This is the Lord speaking. So if a child doesn't obey his parents, he will have a harder time obeying the Lord. Probably closely related to their obedience, children can be a source of grief or joy for their parents. There are a few proverbs I wrote out. I'll just quickly read. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. A foolish son is the ruin of his father. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. And we'll look at probably a few more proverbs next week that would deal with the parents' responsibility. Let's move on to verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This moves beyond the call to just outward obedience. Now children are given the instruction concerning the attitude that they have, the inner attitude. To honor is to value, to revere, to respect. Children are to have love and affection for their father and their mother. This is both parents, again. Both the father and the mother have authority over their child, and they are both to be held in honor. Children are not to obey reluctantly or unwillingly, but their obedience should come out of love for their parents, not out of obligation or duty, much like a Christian's obedience to the Lord. Our good deeds should not be done by compulsion, but voluntary, willingly, out of our love for Christ. Yeah. So the quotation, honor your father and mother, is found in the Old Testament as part of the Ten Commandments. That's in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. God spoke through Moses to the Israelites, honor your father and your mother. And here in Ephesians, he spoke through Paul to extend the command to all Christians. So as with all of the commandments given in Scripture, obedience is not a requirement in order to be saved, but obedience comes out of our response to Him saving us. Jesus taught this particular commandment a couple of places in the New Testament. In Matthew 15 and Mark 10, while speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, He accused them of breaking this commandment by their own tradition. And to the rich young ruler, it's one of the commandments that Jesus tells him to keep. He's not actually called a rich young ruler in Scripture, but combining the three passages, we see he is rich in all three of them. He is young, we see in Matthew 19, verse 20, and he is a ruler, we see in Luke 18. So the penalty for dishonoring a parent was just like disobeying a parent. It was a severe punishment. In Exodus 21, verse 15, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And in verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And in Leviticus 20, everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. So cursing them or dishonoring them is another serious crime to God. In Proverbs 19:26, we read, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Yeah. This is the first commandment with promise. There are a few ways that this phrase is understood. I'll try my best to explain them. Here are the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. They were written on two tablets of stone, we are told. Both the original copy that God wrote and Moses broke when he came down and he found the children of Israel sacrificing to the golden calves they made. And also the second set was also written on two tablets of stone. And we don't know how they were arranged on the stone tablets, other than it does say they were written on both the front and the back. So there's a couple of different views to that, but the three that are in green all have a promise attached to them. I guess we'll turn there. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." So that is attached to the second commandment. And the third one, "You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So that is another promise that are given with these commandments. So how is the fifth one, to honor your father and your mother, the first commandment with promise? One view is that it is the first specific command with a promise of blessing to it, because the second command, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything in heaven, on earth, or in the water," the promise given there was two parts. There's judgment, that God would visit the iniquity of fathers upon their children to those who hate him. And the other part is he shows mercy to thousands, to those who love him and keep his commandments. But that's not specifically tied to making a carved image. It is just a general hating God or keeping his commandments. And then the promise on the third commandment was a promise of judgment to those who would break it, that he would not hold them guiltless. So in that sense, this fifth commandment would be the first one with a promise of blessing if you keep that specific commandment. There's some problems with this view. One problem is that it is not just the first commandment, it's the only one that would actually meet that narrow of a criteria, that it would be a positive blessing for keeping that specific commandment. So it's not just the first, but it's the only one of the ten. Yes, Phil. I hope I'm not losing you yet. Yeah. Oh, that was before that time, obviously, but it would apply if you're bound to worship that image. Yeah, don't make it, don't look at it. Another view is that this is the first commandment on the second tablet. There are some that say the first four commandments that deal more with man's relationship to God were all on one tablet, and the last six that deal with our relationship to one another, other human beings, were on the second tablet. And this is the first commandment on the second tablet with a promise.
That's the original writing. So, I mean, is that exactly what it says? That we know that? We know.
This is an English translation.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm the love of God, I don't understand God.
This is the New King James.
Yeah, that's why I always wonder. I asked that, but how will we make God empower that from the end?
My assumption would be that the finger of God wrote in Hebrew, and that's generally the picture we get of those, but we're not really told, I suppose. So a problem with this being the first commandment on the second tablet with a promise is the same problem we had earlier. It's the only commandment on the second tablet with a promise. It's not just the first one. So why would he use that word, the first one? And another problem is that we do not know how these were broken up exactly. Under the Jewish tradition, apparently, the fifth commandment, the first five are on one tablet and the second five on the second tablet, which they may have a good reason for that, because honoring your father and mother is close to honoring the Lord, so it could fall into that category as well. One other view is that this is the first commandment that speaks to children, but that is not what the text says here in Ephesians. It says it is the first commandment with promise, not the first commandment to children. So to try to explain this better, the word first can mean first in time, or it can be first in importance. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, the scribes asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And they were not asking which commandment was given first, but which one was the most important. So another view is that to honor your father and mother is the most important commandment, the first in importance, and it has a promise attached to it. But to disagree with that, Jesus' answer was that the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So to honor your father and mother is not the most important commandment.
Yeah,
Curtis.
First, you can't love God. How are you going to love your mother and father? Well, the way I look at it, you know, how can you love yourself if you don't love God?
Curtis, do you have a question? Right, right. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah. Another way this could be. Right, right. So one answer for this is that it could be translated, honor your father and mother, which is a commandment of foremost significance with a promise. It is one of the Ten Commandments, so it is a most important commandment of primary importance, and it comes with a promise. And we did see how important it was when we looked at the consequence of breaking this command. Well, when he gave the law, he didn't really just give 10. He gave several laws all at once, but
you heard me. That's exactly what you said. I said, you violated one of them, you violated all of them.
Yeah. So this word first can mean most important, chief. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul writes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that is the same word that says first here. He is the foremost sinner in his eyes. Another interesting usage was in Luke 15:22, when the prodigal son returned. His father told his servants to bring the best robe and put it on him. That word best is the same as the word first here. So it's the most important robe, or the best. And let us look at the promise before our time is up. The first part of the promise is that it may be well with you. A child who honors his parents will enjoy a rich, full quality of life without regrets. A child should never be sorry that he obeyed his parents, unless this obedience was against the word of God. So as a general principle, parents want what's best for their children, and so those are the kinds of commands that they will give them, things that would benefit the child. So when children obey their parents, who are more knowledgeable or experienced than they are, then the child is doing something beneficial for himself. The second part of the promise is that you may live long on the earth. In the Old Testament, in those Ten Commandments, it is given slightly differently. For the Israelites, it says that they would live long in the land which the Lord was giving them. But here the promise is expanded that Christian children who honor their parents may live long on the earth. If a child lives in rebellion to his parents, it can lead to a life that is cut short. But this promise, it's not a statement that every individual who honors his father and mother will live longer than every individual who does not honor them. There are obedient Christian children who die young, and there are disobedient true parents, people who live a long life. So there are other factors that participate in a person's lifespan, but the principle is always in effect. It could be, if they do turn at the end, if they repent, I suppose. But sure, he could grant a long life to one who was not obedient to his parents, to give him more time. Disobedience to godly parents would indicate an undisciplined life, which can lead to a number of detrimental sins, which, if all other things were equal, would shorten a life. One commentary gives the example when a devout father warns his son against the evil of chain smoking, addiction to alcohol, sins pertaining to sex, etc., and the son disregards his advice, he's following a course that does not, as a rule, lead to long life on the earth. In addition, it should be borne in mind that though a disobedient child may live on and become a centenarian, 100 years old, as long as he continues in his wickedness, it will not be well with him. He will have no peace. So that is an example of the principle at play. Obedience to parents would imply that the child possesses the principles of restraint, sobriety, and industry which secure a lengthened existence, says another commentary. So just obeying your parents, if they have your best interests in mind, which is generally probably right, I mean, not all parents are, I'm sure, but that would lead to a longer and a more satisfying life. And I guess in closing, I had a couple other proverbs just to read, not to really say much more than is written. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And it goes on dealing with the evils that the instruction is to keep the children from. So, obeying your parents, they do have their own part to play, which we will look at next week. They have their responsibility to train up a child the right way in the Lord. And if they are doing their part, then obeying them will definitely be well with you. And that's the end of the first three verses. Okay? Okay, good. Father, you are our true parent who we are to obey foremost. You are the most highest authority in our lives, and we strive to obey you most. And I don't know about all of these here. I'm sure that not everyone's parents are still alive, but for those of us who do have living parents, help us to honor them and respect them and obey them as part of our obedience to you. I thank you for the parents that you've given me personally, that they were a good example, and they still do seek my well-being, and they do care for me, and they point me to you, Lord. I thank you because I know that's rare, I guess, in this world today. So help us to be a good example to the children, to the younger ones in our lives, even the grandchildren, for some of us. Help us to to be a godly example and to point them to you and to honor you so that they would see us honoring you as our Father and they would honor their parents. In Jesus' name, amen.